was a very close friend of Kelly's. They were in the Royal Marines together, not the Australian Army, but Brooke was over there when the war started. Kelly was over there when the war started, and they both enlisted together. But he was serving off Gallipoli and was on Gallipoli with the Australians. So it was a very, very interesting time. He wrote the work in homage to Brooke, who was a great English World War I poet. Then he got wounded himself in the foot and had to be sent back to a hospital, and he wrote it partly on off Gallipoli and then on the ship, and then went back to the Dardanelles. He was one of the last officers to be taken off the Gallipoli campaign in the Great Evacuation, and was made a lieutenant commander. He continued writing music through the war, but very sadly he was killed leading a suicide charge against machine guns, German machine guns on the Somme. He's a great Australian, but here you have a pianist, a composer, a great diarist. He left copious diaries. A person that knew many, many different people, a World War I officer, a great Australian rower, an Olympic gold medal winning sportsman.
You mentioned one of his diaries. One of those turned up in a bookshop in England, didn't it?
Well, there were eight diaries that were written from 1907 right to his death, but seven volumes of them up till the 29th of April 1915, that's 4 days after Anzac Day, the original Anzac landing, they were found, and they were in the National Library, and they were published, edited by a Professor Therese Raddick of Melbourne and Monash University. She's a great scholar. And she went into this very, very deeply. But we didn't have the last diary, which talked about the Gallipoli campaign and his time in France. And then recently, it turned up for sale in an English bookshop, and a very sharp-eyed librarian noticed it and managed to purchase the volume. Now, I've read through parts of the volume in Canberra at the library, and I raised the money, and now that diary is being typed out by a World War I historian, and then it's going to be handed to Dr. Raddick, who knows the shorthand that Kelly uses, and this will come out in a year-long diary volume, or year and a half, covering the end of his life. And some of it is very, very moving indeed, very moving.
Like his music, too, is moving. You mentioned briefly the story of his good friend, Rupert Brooke, the poet. He and Brooke were, best of mates. They were inseparable.
They were very close buddies. There's no doubt about that. There's no mention of anything closer or more intimate in the diaries. I suppose people were very careful in those days. But Brooke was a very handsome man, and Kelly was a very attractive personality and quite a famous sportsman. But he also had several lady friends that were chasing him as well, so we just don't know. But that they both enlisted in the Royal Marines at the same time and were stationed in the same battalion, HMS Hood, shows how close they were. And when Brooke died of septicemia, about the 23rd of April, 2 days before Anzac Day, the original Anzac Day, Kelly was with the burial party. They carried his coffin up the hill, and he was inspired by Brooke's death and so moved by it that he got the genesis of this orchestral work for divided strings, solo violin and harp. It's really like the orchestral work on Thomas Tallis that Ralph Vaughan Williams wrote, and it is deeply moving. It's been recorded by the BBC Symphony Orchestra, and it's being done this year at the BBC Proms. Now, the BBC have asked for something like 44 works of Kelly from me recently, and several English orchestras also have, because they're celebrating the beginning of the war now.
I'm going to play a little piece of this. When we listen to this piece of Elegy, what do we hear? What are we hearing?
I'll read you what he writes in the unpublished diary. Ever since Brooke's death, I've been composing an elegy for string orchestra. The ideas, which are coloured by the surroundings of his grave and the circumstances of his death, he was buried on a Greek island. The model character of the music seems to be suggested by the Greek surroundings as well as Rupert's character and some passage work from the violins by the rustling of the olive trees, the leaves of the olive tree, which bends over his grave. So it begins in a very somber, sad, almost transparent way, and then you get the rustling of the leaves as the wind rustles through the olive grove trees above Brooke's grave.